Okay, in the book of Acts this morning, chapter 1, we're going to read the first 9 through 11, and then 14 also. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, the Lord himself, out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And we're gonna look at, in particular, verse 11 this morning that says, speaking of the two that stood by in white apparel, which said also, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. And the title or the thought we're going to look at this morning in this is the phrase, this same Jesus. And as the men there were looking up in wonder, no doubt, of seeing the Lord ascending up into heaven, into the cloud, they surely were aware of what the scriptures had said, and that they knew this was to happen, and this was part and parcel of. I got it up. Just a minute. Let me. There. Part and parcel of what they had known, and they no doubt were amazed at this, seeing this, even though they were told that this would take place. And what they questioned, that gazing up into heaven, and a couple of different thoughts come to mind, is that they were saying, this, he's going to come again. You know that he's going to come again. And as we see on into Acts, the next several chapters, we see what they were about, that they were about witnessing the gospel and witnessing and testifying of our Lord himself. And that was what they were to be about. And in the one sense, don't just stand there gazing into heaven, you got things to do type of thought, I think. And the other was not to worry, he's going to come back as he promised. And we're going to look at several thoughts about that. But keep in mind that during this time, as they said, as the two in white apparel said, the messenger said, this same Jesus will return. And not just another one or another something else, but this same Jesus, the one that they knew. And as Christ was received up into heaven, they assured him, it was an assurance to them, I think, that this was going to take place, that he was coming again. And like I say, it was a wonder for them to behold what the prophets had foretold, and in their own sight, and the prophecies about our God and Savior and King. And I'd like to look at three spots to start with in the book of Psalms. Turn to the book of Psalms, if you would, and we're going to look at Psalm 24 to start with. Psalm 24. And in Psalm 24, we're gonna read the 10 verses of Psalm 24. It's not very long, but it speaks about the King of Glory, who we have to do with, the King of Glory. And it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift ye up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory, Selah. And we know from what the scriptures foretell of him, come, that this one that they watched ascend up into heaven was indeed very God. He was the King of glory, and he was ascending up to sit at the right hand of the Father and be in his place of glory where he always belonged or had that place and was returning up into there. So he was the King of glory. He was very God, and we see in the beginning of the book of John and Hebrews and other places that, and Revelation, that speaks to who he is, and that there's no doubt in the scriptures that our God and Savior is indeed, he's the mighty one. As in Zechariah, where Norman's been quite a bit, the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of all there is, and there is none superior to him or beyond him. In Psalm 47, we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 47. Psalm 47 speaks about our Lord and Savior, our God, not only being the Creator and King of glory, but he is the King of the whole earth. In Psalm 47, it says, "O clap your hands, all ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great King over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted." And that is, not only he's the King of glory in that he's the Creator and Sustainer of all things, but as it says here, he's the King of all the earth, all the physical parts of the earth, every man, woman, child, and beast of his creation, that he is God and King of those things. And as it says, it speaks about his people singing praises to God with understanding, and that's by what the scripture says, is he is that one. Norman read from part of the scriptures on, I think it was Wednesday, about Nebuchadnezzar and what he had to say about him, and he, whether he was a believer in that or not, but after being turned out as a beast, when he came back, he recognized and attested to the fact that he was witness to God being this all-powerful one, that nobody else asked him what he was going to do, that's the Lord we deal with. And whether it is his people, he reigns over with grace and mercy and everlasting love and commitment to his people, or others, the rest that are not, they're going to be ruled over, but not in the same manner. It says he reigneth over the heathen, he reigneth over all, and it says here in verse 2, the Lord Most High is terrible, for he's a great King over all the earth. And I don't, that to God's people is not terrible in a bad way. It's terrible in an awesome way, that he reveals a little to that to his people of what he is like, and we are in awe and praise and wonder of that. But to the heathen, it's not going to turn out quite so good. They're not in his favor. And then the third idea about our God being the King, not of glory only, or the King of the whole earth, but the King of Israel. And turn to Psalm 68, and we're going to read a couple of different excerpts from that. Read that on your own, if you would, to the rest of that. But the King of Israel, verses 18, 19, and 20. It says, speaking of God, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." And here, "Blessed be the Lord," verse 19, "who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." That's, all of creation cannot say that. All of mankind cannot say that. God's people can say that because it the ones that he has died for, we're going to see a little later, that he is the high priest of even now, when he rose up into heaven and ascended up into heaven. But it says here, God's people loadeth us with benefits. We probably could make a list longer than he thinks we probably need, but the benefits we have are that we can be at peace with our God. He's caused us to be at peace with that. We can be at peace with our surroundings and situation, even though we don't necessarily care for them or like them in this time and place. We can be at peace with whatever may come that he brings our way. And then verses 33, 34, and 35 of Psalm 68. It says, verse 33, "To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God." And here again, those things speaking about a king over Israel, and not just the king over, and not speaking the king of physical Israel, the Palestine, those people over there in that national group. He did some mighty things in their presence, and that they saw did not bring salvation to many, but the Israel of God that it's speaking about here are the ones that he, as it said earlier in the psalm, that he brings the salvation to, that he caused salvation to come upon. Those are his people. There are a lot that are Israelites or Jewish people that are not God's people, and this is speaking of all time to those people that he has opened the eyes of, brought out, shown them who he is, and caused him in their eyes to understand some of the King of Glory, the King of the whole earth, and the King of Israel in what that means to them. And this is the one, and they said, this same Jesus is going to come back. This is the one, we had to do with, Emmanuel, God with us. And very God and very man, and as he was here, and as he was the sacrifice for his people, and redeemed his people, finished all that work that needed to be done for his people in salvation, and then ascended up. That's the same one that will come back, as they said. Turn to Acts chapter 2, if you would, please. In Acts chapter 2 and verse just a couple of verses. Verses, starting with verse 22. Verse 22, it says, "Ye men of Israel," and this is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And here on the day of Pentecost, when they saw those things happen in the preaching of the gospel in many languages to ones that could understand in their language those things, things that they assumed, Peter's setting them straight on a few things. And one of them, that this Jesus that you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain is indeed the God of glory, the one that did indeed redeem his people, and that is ascended on the right hand of the Father, and is his glory. And and he says here, verse 36, "that all the house of Israel assuredly know that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." And again, back to the thought, that same Jesus is the one that is coming back. It's not, don't look for another. We're not looking for someone like him or similar, or the name is the same. We're looking for the same, indeed the same one. In Acts chapter 3, while we're here in the book of Acts, chapter 3, Peter is again speaking, and they healed a lame man. And chapter 3 of Acts, starting with verse 13, it says, "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And this name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, hath he so fulfilled." And we're going to go on in just a minute, but this same Jesus is the one that, again, he's speaking about here. That God, by the mouth of the prophets, said that this would take place. And indeed, in your sight, you've seen this. And that this would be the one to redeem his people. And they said, by his faith, the faith that Christ gave him in him, was this man made whole, and not a miracle that they did, but God's healing and doing that. And then again, a picture of what happens spiritually to God's people. And then verses 20 and down a bit, it says, verse 20, Acts chapter 3, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached unto you, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. And here's speaking of the one that they're dealing with, the one that they saw ascend up to heaven, and the one that was those of the, it says, the prophets and of the covenant which God made, and unto those that all of them preach the same thing. Some of those that God has to reveal to us the truth of those things, but all the prophets, it says here, all the prophets attested to this, of who he was. And then, in 2 Thessalonians, it's just a couple of places here, other places, you'll see, we're not really shifting gears, but a different thought. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting with verse 7, after his greeting to them, but it says here, verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and lo, to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony on you is believed in that day. That wherefore we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's down in 7 and 8 here, but 7, that he shall be revealed, shall return again from heaven, it says here, with his mighty angels, taking vengeance. We know they'll be separating the sheep from the goats, and on those that obey not the gospel. And he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. This is the one, the same one is coming again. This same Jesus, as the two in white apparel said. In the book of Hebrews, we know that it speaks a lot about the priesthood of Christ, and that he is there. And that he is, he's now in heaven. And we're going to look and see here, one of the things why we look for him to return, and why we are praise him for what he is doing now and what he does for his people. In let's look at chapter 4 of Hebrews, if you would please. Hebrews chapter 4. And the book of Hebrews straightens out an awful lot of things. There's a lot of things about the Lord himself, his salvation of his people, the priesthood, everlasting priesthood, and the the things and the intercession that he makes for his people. And in chapter 4, starting with verse 14, chapter 4, Hebrews, it says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is our great high priest, and not just... He didn't just go up into heaven and that's the end of it. He is interceding for his people before God the Father. And that's what he does, and he does for his people. John chapter 14 and 16 talks about him going to the Father. Let's look at a couple of verses in John 14. Good, a wonderful passage that, to God's people. John 14, starting with verse 1 and reading down a bit. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you in unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him." And then, let me find my spot again. And then in John chapter 16, start with verse 16. It says, "A little while," the Lord speaking to them, "ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." Then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and you will not see him. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew what they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and ye shall not see me, and again a little while and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall turn to joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth that no more, for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take it from you. And then that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And here, up here, "I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." And they didn't understand that he had taught them, but they still, he has to reveal it to his people. And he speaks here again of that he will see us again. As he said, "I will see you again, and I'm returning." There's some of that was hard to hear and understand. And from a physical standpoint, They couldn't understand that. And from John 16, they're speaking of that. Remember the two on the road to Emmaus. And I love that passage because there's so much in there. And they saw Christ crucified, and that was the end of the line as far as they're concerned. And they thought that he was going to be the one that take care of business. And he tells them, "Oh, fools of slow of heart, to believe all the prophets said concerning me. Ought not to Christ have suffered and then entered into his glory?" And he was remind them in quoting what Scripture said to them. And he began it and spoke of all that the prophets said concerning him, about these very things that they said to him. And that that he was going to come back again, that it was that they, as the prophet said, that this was going to happen. And then 1 Thessalonians, turn to 1 Thessalonians one more time in the first chapter, and some things that it says to God's people that are here after he ascended up into heaven. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 10, it says, he's speaking to the Thessalonians and said that he knows that the gospel entered into them because of that the Spirit caused them to believe these things. And verse 10 says, "And to wait to serve the living and true God, they turned from idols," and it said, "and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." And again, we're waiting for that. We're looking for that same Jesus, as they said. He's going to come back again, as the two told them. He shall return, this very same Jesus that left us and went from us. And then Hebrews chapter 1. And with this, we're going to wrap up the thoughts here. First chapter of Hebrews and the first three verses. And remember, the book of Hebrews contrasts what our Lord is like in many offices and things with what the fleshly that they thought. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And that recaps what we looked at in the Psalms. He is indeed the sovereign. He is indeed that King of glory, the King of the whole earth, and the King of his people. And as it says here, that he, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, where he is now, and he's interceding for his people. That's the one that those two in white apparel were talking to the apostles there when they were looking up into heaven as Jesus ascended. And they said, don't wonder that he's leaving you. He's coming back again, and the same one. And so that's why the thought of, as it said there in Acts there, this same Jesus will come again. And that same Jesus was the one that we looked at in all these other passages about who he is to his people. And here in the first three verses opening of Hebrews sets forth who he is. And that's the one that we are expecting and looking toward. When God's people say, "Come, Lord Jesus," we're ready for him to come. With that, let's sing one more hymn in our hymnal as we close. We're going to sing number 51 in the blue hymnal. "Praise the Savior, ye who know him."